Psalm 34. So I want us to put it into our mouths. Of course, it says much more than just exalt the Lord. It says many things. You'll find yourself with David praying and beseeching and rejoicing and crying for help as it happens in the psalm. So would you join me? I'll lead, and then you follow with the dark verses, if you were. Let us put God's word into our mouths. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life, who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of the servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, in these minutes we want to be reflecting on what we have spoken with our mouths, what we've heard through our ears, what we hear through and in the deepest places of our lives. About this holy mystery that the seed of truth that you offer to us can germinate in our lives, can germinate in the lives of all people, especially if the soil is receptive to receive it. Lord, may you teach us to be those who help prepare the soil of our own hearts, the soil of our culture, the soil of our friendships, that we might be able to bear your light and sow your seeds in places where it may bear fruit. And may the words of my mouth, join me if you wish, and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's about the bigness of God in the smallest of things, especially as we dealt with them at Bible school, very, very specific truths that God created everything and wants to spend time with me. If anybody really wants to ask you, says, well, how do you know God did all these things? It goes right back to creation. It goes right back to looking around us. You know, Thomas Aquinas, a long time ago, a great philosopher and theologian, those things used to be kind of mixed together, said, just look at what's going on. Everything is moving. What do you imagine started this motion? If you move back to the beginning of all things, the beginning of all time, the beginning of all creation, you know, what do you think was the spark that got it going? Even if you were to look at it in through the eyes of what we call or used to call the Big Bang, I don't know what they're calling it these days, but it's the notion that all things were together. All things were together, literally, all matter. If you were to suck all the space out of all the atoms in the universe, you could hardly see them. That's how dense it would be. And then at some point that blossomed, and we can read about that blossoming in the beginning of Genesis, right? In the days, the eons, the ages of creation where all this came together. That it had to start someplace. Or we can look at it, Aquinas said, through the notion of cause and effect. You know, we know that when there's an interaction, if I were to kick this table, I'd probably knock over the beehive and they'd all fly everywhere. There would be an effect from it. You know, the fact that we're here, that we exist, that we have our being, that we woke up, means that somewhere back of it all, backstage, of it, as it were, was the first cause, is God. So even people who aren't people of the book, who aren't people of Scripture, of our three monotheistic faith traditions, you know, Christianity and Judaism and Islam, for instance, even people who aren't part of those traditions can understand God in these terms. If you were to read the book of Romans, Paul starts in this very place. He says, people, even people who don't have the sacred things that we have this evidence, this great evidence that God's at work in the world. And behind the scripture that Cindy read, behind the work that you do, Cindy, in our garden, because you're the queen of the garden. Do y'all know that? She's the queen of our garden plot over out here north of town. I know the Gustafsons have something going over there. I know I do with the invisible help, but it's tangible, of Robert Monroe. He and I have a bed, and somebody else. Who else has stuff growing over there? Glenda, do you? Glenda Hammer? Glenda's probably up with William. No, she's right there. Glenda, do you have a garden out there? Oh, yours is at home. You can all go over to her house and see her garden. Go do it. She's always got something to share with you. At least that's what I find. But the bigness of God and the smallest of things, and the smallest thing that is used as an illustration in Scripture, is a mustard seed. It's very small. It's very tiny. And yet it becomes the biggest plant, one of the biggest plants, and all seeds happen like this. And there is a mystery, and there's amazement in all of that. So I thought I'd share just a little bit about the smallness of things that I've experienced in the last 2 weeks. Because they were an interesting 2 weeks vacation. First of all, it took us 4 days to get to Portland, Maine, on an airplane. That's how it is. That's how it is. That's how the weather goes. That's how scheduling goes. That's how mechanical failures go. That's how air traffic controllers go. That's how all those things go. But we got there, and we got to spend 2 glorious nights in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, at least 2 nights anyway, but they were pretty good. We got to be together, Kristen and I. And that was the real first blessing, was just time. No matter where it was, whether we were eating, you know, pulled pork in an airport restaurant, or, you know, Wisby's at somebody's, you know, fast food stand down the way. And arriving at camp, which is this wonderful place on Lake Pocasset. Again, I would be showing you pictures if I could. And we encountered there Naomi Bella, one of the smallest of things. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of her. The smallest thing that was there at camp the whole time. She's just 10 months old and full of joy and exuberance. And those of you who have grandchildren know the joy and the laughter and the tumult that they can all bring. So we saw them, one of the joyful small things that happened. Pippa was with us. We might as well have bought her a seat on the plane for all it took to get her there. But we had a wonderful time, and as a small little critter, she was around chasing squinnies. Anyone know what a squinny is? It's like a little chipmunky thing. She nearly got a few of them. One of the nephews brought his clutch of rabbits and put them in what he thought was an impenetrable, you know, a pen that might hold them. Bunnies. It didn't hold them. So we're in the Maine woods, and all these bunnies are just hopping around having a great time. And they came out okay. They all went back to Mama, and that was good. But there are grandnieces and grandnephews there, some of whom we hadn't met before because they live far away. And they brought joy to us in the smallness of things, great joy in the smallness of things. And then there was just gathering together. And then there was just people to help us on the way. Some of you know that that Kristen has had issues with her feet, and so there were people who helped her through the airports. And you know, you can go miles. In fact, I walked 5 miles at the Philadelphia airport just to keep the day going. There's a lot of walking that happens there. But great blessings hidden in the smallness of things. But if we look at that psalm, and I know that if you have a bulletin, the words of it might be there. There are a couple things that I'll just mention again. The psalm says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, what we have in our mouth is often, at least in my world, a signal of what's going to be healthy and what my health is going to be like. What am I eating? How am I being nourished? You know, not just with sleep, but with having enough water, with having enough things. You know, how we're keeping God's word, how we're keeping present to the word of the God. It goes on to say in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Taste and see what the Lord is good. In order to taste and understand and experience the goodness of God, we have to find a way to ingest that goodness, to partake of that goodness. It's not going to just throw itself at us. You know, there are always donuts out here or something wonderful. I know Glenda brought some treats over the last couple of weeks. You won't enjoy those goodies unless you take one, unless you eat one. You know, how is it that we continue to take and eat and invite the Lord into our lives? You know, there's a lot in this psalm about God's protection. The young lions suffer want and hunger, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Goes on to say things like, the righteous cry for help, the Lord heals and delivers them out of their troubles. There were troubling things these last 2 weeks. You know, just a week ago, just last Sunday, we were finding ourselves in desolation for especially young people, like the ones that we had been sharing the gospel with at Bible school, whose lives were literally swept away. And when we read these things in a psalms like this, I'm always tempted to ask, in what sense is this true? In what sense is it true that the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles? Because the deliverance is a final deliverance. It isn't necessarily a deliverance out of the troubles of today, the troubles of tomorrow, the troubles that might come upon us at any minute in one way or another. But the Lord was present, and the Lord continues to be present, I believe, in the moments when the most desperate and desolate of things happen to people in the human family. The Lord keeps all their bones, not one of them is broken. The bigness of God in very small things. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you. Thank you that we can live within this paradox. This paradox of your eternal, loving protection, and the reality of tragedy and difficulty and pain that comes upon us, comes upon those we don't know, those all of whom you know. They are weak, but he is strong. We thank you, Lord, that you are the bread of life, that we can taste you, not just in the sacrament, but that we can taste you by hearing your voice, by hearing your word, by being in your presence, by coming together, by rejoicing together, by saying, Hallelujah, Amen. Lord, make us more holy, make us more faithful, make us more reasonable, make us more acceptable. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.